Chapter 5. Mia. I've got a bad feeling. Mia fumbled with her phone, smacking the touch screen until the flashlight winked to life. Alma swiped aside a low-hanging branch. Too bad you're ignoring it. It was well past sundown, and Kai was probably neck-deep in bourbon and bar bets. Restless, Mia told Alma she'd decided to take on the Kaylin Carver case and would spend her night digging around Boston Common, where the teenager had appeared 3 years ago. Alma tried dissuading her, oscillating between amicable reasoning and maternal scolding, but it only cemented Mia's prerogative. In a gesture of peevish resignation, Alma joined her on the misadventure, poised to mock her poor eyesight. "You'd think a park would be better lit," Mia grumbled. Boston Common was a spiderweb of walkways that cut across a hilly, tree-speckled field. The paths were lined with benches and lamplight, though half the bulbs were out, leaving the grass between the trees shrouded in darkness. The park was stunning during the day, vibrant gold and vermilion canopies brightening the space as leaves fluttered to the ground with the breeze. But at night, the clouded autumn sky muted those welcoming hues. Alma flipped her dazzling white hair over her shoulder. "You humans are truly a marvel. So frail and yet so destructive. You can level an entire city with a push of a button, but you can't even see 3 feet in front of you." "To be clear, it's fortunate humans don't share your freakish senses," said Mia. "It must be hard, perceiving so much of what others are oblivious to. I enjoy being a wolf among sheep." Alma snapped her fingers to get Mia's attention, then grabbed her elbow and guided her away from a trunk disguised as a shadow. Mia stumbled past the protruding root. "Sometimes I'm shocked you and Kai live in human bodies, given your contempt for them." "Kai didn't have a choice for most of his life, and now he has you." Alma glanced her way. Her honey-colored eyes reflected light even in the darkness, one of the many peculiarities Mia first noted about her and Kai. "I prefer this body. So much more fun than romping through the woods. Infinite possibilities to express myself." Alma, the white wolf with sunlit eyes, had acted as a distant protector since Mia was a child. She still remembered their first encounter, a dreary summer day at the farmer's market, her parents preoccupied with fruit baskets while she propelled herself skyward in a rusty old swing. A wolf had poked its head out from the trees on the border between town and wilderness, seizing Mia amid her desperate flight. She spent years waiting for that wolf to return, to restore some semblance of magic in her life. But it was Kai, not Alma, who breathed life back into Mia's world. She mistook him for the wolf from her childhood. But while Alma's fur was white as snow and soft as fine silk, Kai's was obsidian black, wild and coarse like bristles. Even their human bodies boasted the same shades and features as their animal selves. Alma, a picture of refined wintry elegance, and Kai, the embodiment of ravening instinct, brazen and full of metal. They were so alike and yet so different, repelling one another like magnets with the same polarity. Mia's phone buzzed then, and she swiped past the home screen. "About to break some teeth. Don't hex me." "Always so ceremonious," Mia chuckled as she composed her reply. "Don't get punched in the dick."
"What did he say?" asked Alma.
Mia shook her head and locked her screen. "Nothing special."
"Does he know you're out here?"
There she was, the devil's advocate. Kai and Alma's baseline had always been hostility, but they were eager allies in one regard, Mia's well-being. Yet she hated being coddled. She'd spent her life feeling squashed by expectations of propriety and good decision-making. The freedom to live unfettered had been cudgeled out of her from an early age, and that was precisely why she'd found Kai so attractive. He was everything she'd been denied by her upbringing. A wayward firecracker ruled by raw intention. Consequences be damned. Kai emboldened her, and because he liked emboldening her, he rarely stood in her way. Amma, however, was a creature of cold, unyielding logic. Costs and benefits, risks and rewards. She was driven by calculation, by the probability of a desirable outcome. Their approaches couldn't have been more divergent, consensus as rare as a cosmic event. "He doesn't," Mia replied quickly, shining her flashlight between two trees so she wouldn't trip on a root. When they stepped into the clearing, Mia was grateful for the level ground and towering lampposts. Amma stopped next to her, ogling the side of her face with an arched brow. "You're hiding it from him?" "No, I just don't want to worry him right before a fight." Amma hummed, unconvinced. Irritation needled Mia's chest. "Maybe I don't want you two ganging up on me." The mirthful smile fell from Amma's face. "Regardless, I'm glad you didn't go alone." Mia routinely took risks Amma disapproved of, but the white wolf's tolerance was so low that a turtle could trip the wire. Kai was brash by nature, so if he had a bad feeling, maybe this was reckless. Whatever the case, three was a crowd, and the last thing Mia wanted was to feel corralled by two stubborn, overprotective wolves. A mass of black feathers swooped down from a branch, the telltale call of a raven signaling Gavran's arrival. Mia extended her arm, and he accepted the roost, his talons biting into her skin as he steadied himself. "Did you give Bastian a goodbye peck for me?" Mia teased as she wiggled her fingers through his blue-black plumage. Gavran angled his head back, his throat swelling as he released a happy gurgle, then hopped from Mia's shoulder down to Amma's. Amma leaned in as he nuzzled her neck, and she cooed,
"Are you behaving yourself with the clientele?"
They'd always been inseparable. Amma claimed that Gavran had raised her. A careful truth blurred by omission. But it was clear they'd spent a lifetime together. Gavran now split his time between the Dreamwalker and the White Wolf, though Mia could tell Amma missed him when he was gone. Fortunately, she had Crowbar to keep her company when pride kept her from seeking out her feathered friend. Gavran chortled and beat his wings, then scanned the field, his head canting this way and that.
"All right, what are we looking for?" asked Amma.
Mia peered through the empty park.
"I'm not sure yet, but this is the spot Kaelin was found."
"It could be a dead end. 3 years is a long time."
Mia's hand wandered to the pendant around her neck.
"I've got no other leads. Besides, if there are strange disappearances or appearances, whatever's causing them will leave a trace."
Silence and darkness cloaked the grounds like an unfamiliar vesture. The space made alien without the daytime chatter of congregating denizens. Parks, stripped of their social purpose, revealed a forgotten underside of a city with ancient bones. They were repositories of grim histories, executions, massacres, riots. The soil on which Boston Common stood was anything but pristine, something the trees knew well. Their roots burrowed deep into the earth, drinking the blood of the slain, soaking up the vestiges of their agony. During the day, parks hosted the living as they searched for solace. At night, They were where phantoms came to mingle, to revel in clandestine mysteries. Mia traipsed along the grass, guided only by a sense she could neither control nor fully tap into. Then again, it was never about control. It was about trust. Her power would serve her when she required it. The common was mired in a low, fey frequency that quavered beneath her feet and caressed her face like a hyaline mist. It enveloped her, tugging on those ethereal threads that tethered her to the unseen. Her hand floated up as though steered by spectral breath, and she curled her fingers around the labradorite pendant. The dreamstone always helped her find her way. Dropping into a crouch, Mia laid her palm flat on the grass. Her eyes drifted shut, and she listened until the stone hummed to life, and she felt a slow, steady thrum beneath the soil. In the dreamscape, where all that was solid melted into air and nothing remained in the same place twice, she'd learned to follow the roots. They were like veins beneath the earth's skin, a map of the very domain that gave them life. That matrix of roads led her to where she needed to go. The trick was identifying the correct route, the correct path. Hunting specters from the waking world wasn't so different. Emotions and energies clung to the land, and the same roots that soaked up agony soaked up other things as well. Mia just had to pick up the trail. "That way," she said, pointing with her eyes still closed. Gavran squawked and took off from Amma's shoulder, gliding forward. He circled overhead, then dove toward a rogue tablet in the middle of the grass, fluttering above it before landing. Amma sidled up to Mia and offered her a hand.
"Looks like you found something."
Mia accepted the gesture and hauled herself up. "Let's see what it is." A rectangular slab of dabbled stone lay wedged in the soil, dying grass caressing its hewn edges. A plaque was fixed into it, marking the place where the great elm of Boston Common once stood. Mia swept her flashlight over the darkened brass, reading the inscription aloud. "Site of the great elm. Here the Sons of Liberty assembled. Here Jesse Lee, Methodist pioneer, preached in 1790. Landmark of the common. The elm blew down in 1876. Placed by the N.E. Methodist Historical Society. A felled tree, its lingering shadow suffused in castaway histories." Mia wondered if a piece of it still skulked underfoot, pulsing with untold stories, clipping at the seams of another realm. One little tear in the thread, and the whole boundary could unravel.
"It's always a damned tree," Amma sighed loudly,
and Gavran thrust his neck out and croaked at her, as if offended. In Mia's hometown of Black Hollow, British Columbia, it had been a willow known as the Emerald Shade and an ancient redwood that Gavran called the Red Knot. Then there was the Gray Gnarl, a dead elm lost in the swamps near Ormes Rest, Louisiana, from where Crowbar and Bastion hailed. It seemed they had another elm on their hands, though it no longer stood, and Mia had no way of feeling its breath beneath her palm. It was little more than a memorial now, a shade left behind by a living edifice. Mia wondered if this one still had form in the dreamscape. It was true that things moved, but the sense of place remained. The woods surrounding the Emerald Shade always looked and smelled the same. It was the where that changed. Orienting in the dreamscape using laws of physics was like trying to capture mist in a jar. Mia had the roots to guide her, their pulse amplified by the dreamstone. It was a fragment of the dreamscape, gifted to her by Gavran and cultivated by the dreamwalker's will. Now it was a part of her. "Look with different eyes," both Kai and Gavran once told her. "Surely you knew this was here," Mia frowned at the raven, who cocked his head in reply. He beat his wings, protesting her accusation, then buried his beak into his thick plumage.
"The trace is too faint, even for him," said Amma.
"I have a hard time believing that," Mia grumbled. Gavran was a trickster, only ever offering partial truths. He liked watching mortals stumble to comprehension. Amma planted her hands on her hips and squinted.
"You've gotten better and haven't noticed."
If Mia had improved, she was unaware. Her journey from fledgling to fully realized dreamwalker was tumultuous. Like the dreamscape that had claimed her, her growth had been chaotic and replete with hurdles. She'd been unmoored, scrambling for something sturdy to cling to in a torrential sea of unknowns. For the better part of 5 years, that something had been Kai. She eventually learned to withstand the current on her own, though he was there to anchor her when she needed him. "That weird energy I felt is pooling here, under this plaque," Mia told them. She ran her palm over the inscription, and something sparked against her skin. A wrinkle in the veil, a fissure in the stitching. "Shit," she whispered, feeling the crimp like a crack in glass. "The boundary is really weak here. It would take no effort to puncture it and waltz right through." Mia could access the other realm in 2 ways. Either she dreamwalked, her spirit temporarily leaving its container, or she ripped a hole through the barrier and physically let herself in. The latter was exhausting, her body screaming for rest before the journey back. This spot, however, was like wet paper. Tearing through would be easy. Gavran hopped side to side and pecked at the dirt bordering the plaque. Mia tilted her head toward him.
"You sure you didn't feel this?"
He peered up at her, silent, and she knew he wasn't fibbing.
"I barely felt it," Amma confirmed. "Now that you've pointed it out, I can. But I never would have detected it otherwise."
"I guess that tracks. It took me a bit to find it, but now that I'm here," Mia trailed off, her brow furrowing. "Do you think Kaelin Carver might be like me?" As far as they knew, Mia was the only one who could shred the border between worlds. The Dreamwalker was gestated in the womb of Black Hollow's most intimate terrors, but folklore was vast and versatile. Different cultures shared fears, conjured fiends of a similar ilk. What if Kaelin represented the same to her own people, whoever they were?
"I need to get closer," Mia declared.
"Dreamwalking?"
the white wolf ventured. Mia shook her head.
"I'm going straight in."
Amma's eyes widened in a rare expression of surprise.
"Is that necessary?"
Mia gestured toward the plaque.
"There's an open door right here. I don't have to chip my way through the wall."
"Do you simply eat a cupcake that's been left on your doorstep?"
Amma scoffed.
"Depends on if it's sealed in a box or has a note or..."
"Mia," Amma pinched the bridge of her nose. "That's not the point."
She tapped her boot against the ground and sighed heavily.
"Dreamwalk first. Leave your body here and project your spirit through the fault line. There's no need for you to go bouncing between realities. What if you get stuck or wind up somewhere else?"
"I'm not a fly trapped in a lampshade."
"No,
You're a living nightmare to a town of benign fools. But that doesn't mean you can't take precautions. Let me watch over you from this side.
Mia's rebuttal dissipated. She knew Amma was right. It was an unnecessary risk, and yet she still wanted to take it. Amma and Kai were always there to break her fall, robbing her of the opportunity to truly test herself. The wolves were a force to be reckoned with, but so was the Dreamwalker. Her methods were merely different. Kai, at least, let her do what she wanted, and she sheltered him from his demons as often as he rescued her from her doubts. He was dauntless, where she was incisive, and he trusted her to be as sharp as he was ferocious. They honed each other like blades, their conviction unwavering. Amma tempered that forging fire, barring Mia from potential harm. And yet, she was right. Okay, Mia conceded, then unzipped her mauve leather jacket and laid it over the grass. She was glad she'd layered up, her long cami and fleece hoodie keeping her warm against the autumn chill. Easing herself onto the thin cushion guarding her jeans from the frigid ground, she waited for Amma to join her. Their ritual, whenever she dreamwalked. The white wolf plopped down behind her, then guided Mia's head into her lap. Mia waved for Gavran, whose three-pronged spurs found their new perch on her arm. His head dipped, and he playfully plucked at a tuft of loose fleece.
I'll see you on the other side, Mia told him, then turned her gaze skyward.
She drank in the charcoal expanse, void of a single glimmer, then closed her eyes and replaced its darkness with her own.
You know what to do, Amma's voice echoed all around her, and she tipped her chin in acknowledgement.
Mia's palms flattened against the earth, and the dream stone warmed against her chest like a tiny hearth. The raven's talons flexed against her forearm, and his low purr soothed her into a reverie. Soon, the world would rend open, and the umbral plain would swallow her up. She felt the pull, that limber tether that bound her to the dreamscape growing taut. It beckoned her spirit. All she had to do was answer. Cradling the dreamwalker, the white wolf incanted, "Descend as only you can."